After Buzzers, before we move on, we would like to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, plus there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. And it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
After Buzz TV, starting place that Alexa WWE female superstars Kathy Kelly, Sonya Deville, and Zelina Vega proudly presents Women's Wrestling Weekly, the world's first podcast and YouTube series dedicated exclusively to women's wrestling, featuring all the latest news as well as interviews with top superstars in the industry. And now, After Buzz TV's own gorgeous lady of wrestling, TK Trinidad.
Bonjour, guys. You're watching Women's Wrestling Weekly, the number one women's wrestling show on the planet. My name is TK Trinidad, aka the Canadian Assassin, and I am not alone. I have with me, she hails from the valley, the farmer's daughter. Please welcome Emily May.
Hey, everyone.
How are you doing with this?
I'm good. Work managing, working from home, you know?
Yeah. And then we have our new host. He's joining us for the second week. I think on his off time, he practices almost every walkout dance imaginable. Once we get in studio, please welcome Brian Santos.
Hello. I mentioned last week I'm a lover of Melina's split entrance. I'm also going to grandite down the Mania rap like Naomi. Let's just jump in.
And like as per usual, we always do news, star of the week, all that good stuff. But we are always about our guests. And this guest is no different. She's a wrestling commentator. She's an interviewer. She's an MC. And she's the owner of Elevate Pro. Please welcome Brittany Nicole.
Hi, everyone. I'm so excited to be here. This is fantastic.
Thank you for joining us. Let's kind of just jump into it. So I'm scrolling through the Instagram and social media. Huge wrestling fan. How did you get into like your love for wrestling?
Oh, I mean, it started, my mom was a huge fan of wrestling. She used to watch big time wrestling back in the day. And so it started there. And so I kind of grew up with it. And then I grew up in the Attitude Era. And it just kind of went from there, where I was in my mind, I was like, when I turn 19, I'm gonna move to Florida, I'm gonna become a wrestler. And then I moved to New Orleans when I turned 19 and was like, close enough. And so I moved to New Orleans from Cleveland, Ohio, where I'm from. And so I realized I couldn't put myself through the mass amount of pain and training and torture that a lot of the workers do. So I decided that I wanted to be more on the media side of things, like announcing, interviews, commentary, all that stuff. And so, yeah, that's how it kind of happened. It was just, you can blame my mother. So thanks, Mom.
So I know, like, definitely doing the interviewing and commentating, because Emily does that as well, is kind of grueling as far as getting into it. Kind of what was that, kind of getting into that process? What was that experience like?
Well, I just trained myself, honestly. There's not a lot of people down here in the South and in Louisiana that actually train and work with commentators and interviews, announcers, stuff like that. So I lied my way into my first job. And then, you know, said that I've already been doing it. I'm like, yeah, sure, I've done this. And then was petrified when it actually happened. And then just kind of trained myself. And luckily, now that I've traveled and done seminars and all of that kind of stuff, I've learned from some really amazing people and been able to kind of continue to boost my knowledge of doing it. But it's tricky. I mean, Emily can, you know, it's not easy, you know, and it's not easy when you get picked, you know, if you do commentary and you're with somebody you don't even know, and then you've got to figure it out on the fly, like that's even harder sometimes.
Oh man. So what was that process? You said you were training yourself. Is there footage, like archival footage you went to say, okay, this is someone that I want to emulate, or how did you create your own style? Cause I've looked at some of your videos and your reels and stuff, and you have like a distinct style. And so I wanted to hear from you what your inspiration was.
You know, I mean, obviously I went to like Lillian Garcia first, because that's like just the hardcore basic perfect set of announcing and stuff like that. And then, you know, I moved on to watching also different things like announcers for football games, for soccer, for MMA, for boxing, like, you know, and just pulled different little things from that. And it, you know, and then I added a little New Orleans flavor to it.
Yeah.
And that kind of thing. I added my own little personality. But yeah, it's, I mean, honestly, Lillian has been my main look at things. And then also just going back to interview style, like Mean Gene and stuff like that. Like mm-hmm. that is my go-to is like Mean Gene, Dusty Rhodes, Lillian Garcia. They had a baby. It's me.
That's great. Melding them all together.
Right. I love that. I want to ask real quick too. You mentioned about your inspiration for interviewing, which is one thing I wanted to ask, but I also want to ask, because you do commentary, who would be your inspiration or someone that you look to for your commentary aspect?
I mean, Paul Heyman is so good on so many levels for so many things, but also just personally, I think commentary really needs to be more of yourself.
Absolutely.
And so I try not to emulate like Amaro, like, you know, like he's so distinct, people would know like, oh, that person's trying to sound like Amaro, you know, or even Paul or Vince or Cole or anybody in that kind of thing. So I try to just be myself and talk about the knowledge that I have, and then also just kind of add my own little persona into it and not try to be too overly heelish or too overly baby, and try to just kind of, you know, be myself. Unless I don't like the person in the ring, then obviously I'm just gonna, no, I'm just kidding.
So you do a lot of stuff for Reality Wrestling, which is owned by Booker T. Tell us first how you got into that kind of position, and has Booker T given you any kind of words of wisdom?
Well, I worked with, so Reality of Wrestling, when I first started, I was with a company called Wildcat here in New Orleans. And as soon as I was just coming in, they were doing an angle with Reality of Wrestling where it was a takeover angle. So like Reality of Wrestling came to New Orleans and took over. And then we came to Texas and took over Reality. And so it was this whole thing. And so that's where I first met like Stevie Ray and everybody from Reality of Wrestling. And then doing more with female wrestlers, I started getting to know like Hi-Ann and Robin Reed, who come from Reality of Wrestling, and they've watched me since I was a baby, like since I started doing all of this. They were part of my first crew of watching me grow and do all of this. And so I then out of the blue got asked to go to Texas for this company called Main Event, and they were also closely aligned with Reality of Wrestling. So I've always been on that like edge of Reality of Wrestling, but I never had set foot in the building. And I was like, just let me in. And then I did Ladies Night Out in Reality, and walking into the building and being able to see everything, like it was so, so great. It was like everything built up to that. And I was like, oh, this is my moment. It was so great. And I got to do commentary with Matt Topolsky, who is the head commentator for Reality of Wrestling. And their ring announcer didn't show up that night, so I pulled double duty. So I did ring announcing.
Oh, wow.
Commentary at the same time.
Nice.
Oh man, yeah, I've done that before where they pull you into commentary and they're like, oh, by the way, we're going to put you at the table. And you're like, all right, you just roll with it, right?
Yeah, that's exactly what I was at the table and they're like, okay, it's going to be you two. And then they were like, oh yeah, our ring announcer didn't show. Can you call the announcing from the table too? And I was like, cool, okay, let me go get everyone's information.
That's amazing. I mean, that's such an important skill to have, to just kind of roll with it and go with the flow and just like get information into your head really, really quickly in a short amount of time.
Oh yeah. It's insane. And, you know, I don't do it, you know, flawlessly, but you know, I try to do the best I can, but it's really tricky. A lot of people don't realize how much work goes. You're not just reading off of a paper. Mm-hmm. Like even if you are reading some names off of a paper, the amount of energy and, you know, kind of dialect or, you know, anything that you have to get into it, like it's taxing, it's hard. Actually, Matt, before we started the first thing, he pulled out 2 5-hour energy shots and just slammed them on the table and looked at me and was like, you're gonna need this. So
what's your
matinee show and a night show. So it's really
what crazy. Was your what is your favorite thing about announcing and or interviewing?
being with in the ring and in the midst with the wrestlers, like I said, like I always wanted to be a wrestler. So to be a part of that storyline or to be able to help, you know, I guess kind of like influence the storyline and be able to add to it, like getting interviews where people can actually like get in your face and like project across it and like let that story build. Or like a lot of the women, like if they're heels, like I've had them like they pull my hair in the ring and they fight with me, like, you know, it's that kind of thing of being able to like enhance the story and entertain the masses and entertain everybody and continue to get that. So that's what I really like the most about it, is being able to help enhance the story.
That is so interesting.
Go on, Brian.
I was just going to ask, because did you get a chance to actually do wrestling training? I was going to ask, since you do all those little like spots, do you like take bumps or anything like that?
Well, in the state of Louisiana, so we have a wrestling commission. Anybody who doesn't have a wrestling commission, bless you. Anyone who has a wrestling commission, it's a little bit harder sometimes to get shows going and stuff. And in Louisiana, you have to be at least semi-trained or like slightly kind of knowledgeable and have a wrestling license to set foot in the ring. So,
oh wow,
the announcers, the referees, the managers, the wrestlers all have to have a wrestling license. I'll have to know everything. So like I can lock up, I can chain, but it's not, I'm not skilled in yeah. anything else. So
it's
I'll
not
just leave
super
it at that.
Expensive. So, yeah. So speaking of getting a license to, I'm sure opening or kind of running a wrestling school is pretty intense. How did you get involved in Elevate and how did that all happen?
Well, I started working for Elevate after I left Wildcat. And Elevate was, I was just the announcer. I was an announcer and interviewer. And then the owner of the company, he was like, he was burnt out. He was done. He was like, I'm selling it. There's a wrestling school also attached to it. So Elevate has a training center. And he was like, I'm done. I'm out. I'm finished. And he was just going to sell it to whoever. And I was like, let me buy it. So I bought the company. And it was really... kind of crazy. I wasn't expecting to own a wrestling company and then becoming the first and only female ever in the state of Louisiana to own a pro wrestling company was something I didn't even like think about until it had already happened. And when you get a company, you then have to get a license. And so you have to go to this huge council of these 10 people that are the Boxing and Wrestling Commission of Louisiana. And you sit in this little chair and they're in these big pillars and they all get to vote on whether or not you get a license. So like they like just rapid fire you with questions and they ask for all these paperwork and all this different stuff. And then you just sit there and just wait and hope that they give you a license. So it's a little daunting, but I did it and so it's done. And so now I don't have to do that ever again.
Now being a female as far as being a woman as far as owning, but one of the only women to own a promotion like this, have you received any pushback as far as, because wrestling at one point still is kind of a male dominated world, have you received any pushback from, you know, wrestlers or owners or other promotions?
Yes. So I'm blessed to have like a great team around me. Not only are our trainees fantastic, but also I have my business partner Mott Fleming and the head trainer Benjamin Wood of Elevate Pro. Benjamin was in OVW and WWE Developmental, so he's got like 20 years of experience in the wrestling world. And so to have them around me to kind of deal with some people that might not quite want to like discuss things with a woman is nice, but also it's one of those things of like there are a lot of wrestling companies that don't, or a lot of wrestling promoters that don't believe it's real. They've had people actually message me and be like, so is this like, is this part of the storyline or like, do you like really own the company? And I'm like, no, I really own the company. And so it's one of those things of like some people in the South do not, you know, want, and I'm not trying to take anybody's like territory or space or anything like that. Mm-hmm. I think there's enough room for all of us. And I try to make sure we don't run on the same nights that even people in Mississippi or Alabama run, even though they're completely different states. A lot of our fans travel from there or to there to see and do different things. So to make it kind of a nice, zen, peaceful promoter world here in the South, I'm trying to work with other promoters and get them to work with us so that people can see that we shouldn't be just fighting each other for no reason when there's enough room for all of us.
Yeah, that's amazing. What other challenges have you found balancing being, you know, an in-ring talent and also kind of running this whole company?
I ran my first like show of my own. So I got the company in October and I ran the first show in January, and I had no clue how it was gonna work out. I was betting it all in. It was my like WrestleMania one. Like, I had put all my money and everything into it, and if it didn't work, it was gone. And if it did work, we were still here. Mm-hmm. So I lucked out again in having a wonderful group of people backstage so that I could be in the front. Because honestly, if I have to run the back, then I would hire somebody else to do the announcing mm-hmm. and stuff like that. Like, I don't have that much of an ego. I have a little bit of an ego, but I don't have that much of an ego where I need to be in the front. So like, the reason I'm in there up front in announcing is because I have Benjamin and Mott and them running the back, watching the monitors, talking to the refs in their earpieces for timing and all that kind of stuff, and telling people when to do all their stuff. So I can kind of breathe easy. But everything leading up to that is all on me. So like, ticket sales and promo links yeah. and all the social, I do all the social media for it and myself, which is so daunting to have mm-hmm. three social media accounts for myself and then three social media accounts for the business and then all back and forth and all that stuff. So, but it's nice. Once show day happens, all I got to worry about is announcing, which is wonderful. But before then, I'm screaming and running around like a chicken with my head cut off.
Yeah.
So take us through the process. Do you, I mean, obviously you probably have some go-to people as far as wrestlers, but are there people that you have your eye on, or like, how do you put this promotion together? And I mean, you know, now we're in a slightly different time, but before the coronavirus, how do you put everything together?
Right now, it's just imaginary dream matches that I'm having right now in my head of like, oh, we could just have a show. Before the wonderful coronavirus came into being, my main goal is to get more women wrestling in Louisiana. It is so rare here. It's still kind of like a little like freak show match. Like, ooh, there's a woman wrestling, like that mm-hmm. kind of thing. And intergender matches here, there's a lot of promoters that are really against intergender wrestling. And you know, everybody has different takes on it, but I really want to be able to have more female wrestlers. I live in New Orleans. I love it here. I've been here for 12 years, and I am a huge advocate for the LGBTQ community. And so I want to have more LGBTQ in wrestling. We started working with a company down here called Chokehold, which is an all drag queen wrestling show. And oh, wow. They've actually started to come to our training center and start learning to actually properly, because before they were running for a while, they've traveled all over, but they were just like kind of pretending to know how to wrestle. Like, none of them were trained. So now some of them have been coming to the training center, learning how to wrestle. I've been letting them use my ring because they were building their own ring each time. So now mm-hmm. I let them use our ring for their shows. We take it to them, we drop it off, we set it all up and stuff. But I want to have that more in New Orleans and Louisiana. Because again, once you leave New Orleans, you're back in the South. Mm-hmm. And the South is very old school. And I love old school wrestling, but there's so much amazing wrestling going on now in this whole mm-hmm. new era. And I want to showcase that more. So my next big plan is to have an all-female show.
Hopefully. Okay.
That's incredible. Yeah, that'd be fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely let us know for that. What were you gonna say?
Oh, that's just my dream is to also have like people from, you know, out of the country come. I've been having my eye. I mean, I've worked with her during Shimmer. Is Candy Lee? She's amazing. And also, I gotta bring down Jamie Senegal sometime too, because it's so amazing.
And now, as far as let's go back to interviewing real quick. Do you have like a top like two or three people that is like, once I interview these people, like I'm good as far as a list?
Yeah, I do. I would have to say that my top people to interview, I mean, if I could ever just interview Paul Heyman, that would be amazing.
Oh my gosh.
That yeah. would, right? See, look, your head went like, yeah, you yeah. know, you know, you know. If I could just interview Paul, I think I could die happy. I would literally drop the mic and be like, I'm done. Bye. I retire.
I'm done. Life's complete.
Right. Exactly. I literally, the interview finishes and I just drop the mic and I just walk off. I'm like, done.
Walk out from the sunset. My career's
bye.
Over.
Don't care after this. Yep. Also, I would have to say just, talking to again Lillian Garcia, it'd be great to interview her since she interviews so many people.
Yeah,
it'd be nice to actually interview her. And yeah, I want to interview a lot of like old school people. Like, I just want to, I would love to have like a segment where it's just like interviewing people that you maybe don't know a lot about, or maybe independent wrestlers that always stayed on the indie scene but like right. were really big in their heyday of the indie scene. Or even mm-hmm. like, you know, quote unquote jobbers that people call like from back in the, you know, 80s and 90s that WWF and Mid-South and all that kind of stuff used that made the circuits and have like crazy stories to tell about different wrestlers and stuff. So I don't know, just all that, but definitely Paul Heyman. That's again, my career's over.
Do you also approach, I think Paul Heyman is amazing, and I think a lot of the stuff he has planned, but he does it off the cuff. Are you also into, like, you know, doing cutting promos and stuff like that? And, you know, are you working to perfect that? Or what's your view as far as the interviewer, MC? Do you say, do you think that's part of your, that should be part of your repertoire?
Yeah, I think it should be part of everyone's repertoire to be able to cut promos, because if you're going to be doing interviews and stuff, and again, you know, helping to expand the storyline, you don't know what they're going to say. You don't know how it's going to go. So to be able to improv and work with them is great. You know, I've had a lot of things. I remember this one time I was in main event in Texas, and Lance Hoyt, or Lance Archer, whichever he wants to go by. I guess Lance Hoyt now is his. So he was wrestling and he came up to me and was like, hey, can I use you in an angle? And I was like, okay. And he's like, don't say my, you know, my nickname when you announce, just say my name. And then he's like, let me do the rest. And I was like, okay. So I go out and I announce him and I just say that. And he just starts storming to the ring, yelling and screaming at me. And I'm like, oh, this is what, and then he gets in the ring and he's huge and he's just towered over me. He pins me up against the ropes and is just, and he's all wet because he's covered in water. So it's just dripping all over my face. And I'm like, and then the other wrestler comes in and saves me. And I get out of the ring and I'm like, oh, okay, that's what he meant. But he didn't tell me any of that. So like yeah. now I'm covered in water. I'm petrified. I was pinned up against the ropes. Like I was literally like back bending and he's just towering over me. I'm like, and so like yeah, to be able to kind of do all of that kind of stuff and have that kind of persona to help for, I think you need to know how to improv and know how to react to certain scenes when it comes to those kind
of and you have to be in the moment and like pay attention, and yeah, it all works together. How do you take all the experience that you've had, and how as a promoter, how do you help kind of craft those stories that you're telling in your school and for your shows that you're creating? So how do you take kind of what you've seen, the history of all the matches you've seen, and what you want for the future of wrestling, and kind of integrate that into your show?
I take everything that I've had. My first show ever, again, I told you, like, you know, mm-hmm. I lied my way in saying I could announce. My first show then was like, all right, we're taking a 27-hour drive to San Diego to do this show for the Navy base. And it was Chavo Guerrero, Brian Kendrick, Brian Cage, yeah. Shane Taylor, like Ray Horse, all these people. And I was like, and Chavo could tell that I had never done this before. And so before the show, like, he gave me so much information and knowledge. He started working down here in Louisiana more often after that. So like every time he would see me at shows after the show, he would give me a little breakdown of what I'm doing better, what I need to work on. I've taken seminars with Dr. Tom Pritchard, Bob Holly, you know, all different people. And I kind of try to pull everything. And I always take notes. I take so many notes. And so I kind of just regurgitate all that to the kids and to the trainees that we have at Elevate, and try to help them create their personas. You know, I let them do it. I'm not going to just walk in and be like, you're going to do this, and you're going to do this character and go do that. Like, I want them to create their own person, because that's who they've got to live with and be. Like, I'm not going to make them into something that they're not. So I really want them to be creative about it. And we've had some amazing, like Dale Springs. He's one of our graduates, and he is a golfer. And so his whole golfing gimmick, like, at first he didn't know what to do, but he created this thing, and now it's so great. Like, he has a big quiet sign, he's got the clubs, he's got all the different gimmicks that he needs, and he's doing it, and he fits the bill. Like, he's got the ring gear that looks like golfing gear, like, you know. And so, like, to help build those people, I just kind of give them little snippets of everything that I've learned, but I also tell them, like, take seminars, go out, take seminars, watch, learn. Just soak it all in. Like, you can learn something from everybody.
This is true. What's the ultimate goal for your promotion and then for your career?
For my promotion, I want it to be able to run as long as possible, become an amazing school. Like, you know, and my main goal is to get our own warehouse, like to have like a huge warehouse where we can run shows and have the school training school, and have like a hard set built in and everything, so we don't have to put it up and tear it down and all that kind of stuff. So that's my main goal, is to actually get a warehouse where it's a one-stop shop. Everything's in there. For me, for my career, is to go as far as I can, whether it's, you know, WWE, AEW, NWA, you know, Ring of Honor, even just ROW, just touring the indie circuit. Because, you know, as hard as it is to be a wrestler and get booked on wrestling shows, it's really hard to be an announcer, an interviewer, or a commentator and get booked on independent wrestling shows, because people don't want to put money into things like that when mm-hmm. they could just pay for another wrestler or save right. that money, you know? And I do believe that good announcers and good interviewers and stuff like that enhance the show. So I feel like everybody, and even good referees, if you just get, you know, your cousin Bill to put on a striped shirt and you know, it could kind of ruin a match, you know. So I really do think that independent promotions need to invest in also not just their talent, but also referees and announcers and interviewers and all that kind of stuff as well. So wherever this takes me, wherever this crazy, crazy world of wrestling takes me, that's where I'm gonna go.
I like it. Definitely, you know, definitely for sure. Kudos on owning the promotion. Like, I mean, we know what wrestling is, and sometimes it gets kind of tricky being a female in wrestling. So definitely kudos for that. We definitely want to see you evolve and elevate to the highest
level. Yeah. Of your promotion. Yes, elevate.
For sure. Brian, Emily, any more questions?
No.
All right, so thank you so much for joining us, Brittany. We really, really appreciate it. Whenever you're in Los Angeles, and, you know, hopefully when the coronavirus is over, feel free to join us in studio. We'll all be in studio one day eventually. How are you dealing with it, by the way, in Louisiana? How's Louisiana?
Well, we're not the highest state. We're number two next to New York. So we're number two. So we're losing at something. I've been stuck in the house since March 16th. That's when my job, because my day job, my shoot job, is I'm an entertainment planner and booker for weddings and parties and events and stuff. So obviously, man. I'm not doing that right now.
Yeah.
But also, I do rhinestone work. So I do a lot of rhinestoning and stuff on the costumes and everything. So I've had a lot of wrestlers be sending me their boots and gear and stuff. So I've been keeping myself busy rhinestoning wrestling mm-hmm. gear. Nice. For a lot of the wrestlers and stuff. So that's how I've been keeping busy. Just rhinestoning and all that stuff.
And do you have a degree in costume design? Is that?
No, psychology.
Psychology. Okay.
I'm using it well.
Yeah. Definitely. The wrestling industry is perfect for you then.
Yeah, no, I've always loved costume work. And again, the company I work for, Frenchman Street Productions, they do, because it's New Orleans, Mardi Gras, and all that kind of stuff, they do a lot of costuming.
Perfect.
And so I started doing the rhinestone add-ons for them. And then I became, because she saw that I also was very into booking and organizing stuff, I started doing all the booking. So I'm the booker for the company and all that kind of stuff. And
oh, nice.
But yes, so now I'm just rhinestoning currently because there's nothing to book.
Well, happy rhinestoning. Like I said, whenever you come to Los Angeles, you're more than welcome to come on the show.
Yes.
I really appreciate it. Stay safe out there. Number two, geez, stay safe out there. I guess stay in your home and order Amazon as much as possible.
Yeah,
I do pretty have much an idea for your promotion, like, because I'm always one for just giving out ideas, because that's just what I do. Maybe
Please
you can do.
Do
like wrestlers can go online and they can just cut promos leading up to the eventual
show.
I'll get you your 10% on the back end, I promise, for that idea.
10%? What?
No, I love the ideas. Like, I mean, we're all in this thing together, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. Mm-hmm. I guess we'll be more creative. But you know, wrestlers who could do great promos, you really don't even, I mean, obviously wrestling is the biggest aspect of it, but if you could cut a great promo, you're more invested in the promo than the wrestling. So I mean,
we could even do a poll, like that's how you win the match. Like people vote online to see who has the best promo and whoever
do like
has
a whole
the best
bracket.
Promo wins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do like a whole bracket system and then you can like have 30 promos and narrow it down.
Yeah.
There you
Our
have
own
it.
Little March Madness.
Yeah. March. Now it's April Madness.
Yeah.
We're in April.
Oh, God.
So, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Yes,
we really, really
you.
Appreciate it. And like I said, again, stay safe out there. Everybody who's watching us, stay safe out there.
Yes.
Yes.
We are going to get into the news now. Figured it after Buzz News. That's what's happening.
Yeah.
Bryant hit us with the news.
Actually, Emily, this week, I am going to
be
talking about our star.
Yeah. So I'm going to, no worries. So there's a lot of articles happening right now leading up to WrestleMania week, as you know. So Becky Lynch was interviewed this week about kind of her experience adapting to the whole coronavirus and kind of these empty arena matches. And so she had this interview. It was in like Sports Illustrated and Sporting News, and you can catch clips of it all over. So she's talking about how she's adapting not only to home life, but also to kind of the whole new way that wrestling shows are happening right now. And so she talked about, so I think that you just have to go into a different mode. You have to realize that you're not going to get the same feedback. It feels so good when we have the crowd responding, but to know that, okay, you're not going to get that feedback. You still have to tell them a story. The people that are watching at home, the millions of people that are watching at home, you have to tell them a story. You have to give them a reason to care. So she kind of continues to talk about how she's still focusing on how important these matches are. She's focusing on, you know, the story and being in the moment and just figuring out what's best for her and her opponent and just adapting. And like, I think a lot of the wrestlers are sad right now and kind of disappointed that they're not having a huge, you know, arena full of 100,000 people.
Right.
But
yeah,
I think a lot of them are just trying to still do what's best for the fans and give them a good show. So you can catch her full interview on what she talks about and what shows she's watching on Netflix.
Yeah, I said this on Raw that, you know, I think we're all either discovering either new talents or we're working on something that we've been, you know, meaning to work on. So this is providing us the opportunity to do that. Hopefully we're not sleeping all day, hopefully. But I think with the wrestlers too, with no audience, it's forcing the wrestlers to become better, meaning that, you know, you don't have that feedback. So you have to, it's like, you know, you're acting in a movie, like you're not getting that feedback. You have to do that. So this forcing them to become better actors and, you know, better at telling stories. And also what I really hope comes out of this is more amazing promos. So we're no longer getting those kind of like cookie cutter, you know, this is what you're supposed to say. This is how you're supposed to say it. Because back in the day, like X-Pac era, they were just saying stuff off the cuff. And if you think about those promos, those were amazing and outlandish.
Amazing. Yeah.
So, you know, hopefully with this situation that we're in, that at the end of it, you know, we have a lot more wrestlers who could cut a promo and don't need the, you know, generic cookie cutter stuff.
Yeah, so, you know, exactly. Yeah, and when you watch like NXT last week and SmackDown and all the promotions that were televised, you could tell that it's totally a different element that these wrestlers have to handle, and they're trying to figure it out, and they're focusing on the moves, and they're focusing on what their actual objectives are. They're not distracted by the fans, even though the fans elevate the energy and elevate the experience to a whole other level. It's also giving them a reason to, it's giving wrestlers a reason to kind of refocus and generate just a different type of energy that's actually exuding from themselves and not necessarily the fans. So giving them a challenge, but that I appreciate, and that I think as fans, we should give them major props.
Like on the SmackDown after show, I talked about it, that these have been some of the best promos we've seen. Like Roman Reigns' promo leading up to WrestleMania was amazing. And it's the fact that, like you said, they have time to prepare. They also have time on screen more because of what's happening right now. So I think it's definitely going to, like you said, bring some of the best promos and some of the best work we've seen from all these wrestlers.
Yeah.
And what else do we have next, Emily?
So just Becky Lynch continues to talk about, again, she has this match again at WrestleMania with Shayna Baszler. And so her quote is, "She's a technician. She's as good as anybody I've ever seen. So it can be tricky trying to lock on that arm bar. But you know, I'm always looking for alternative ways. She's powerful. She's strong. She's intense. She's dominant, like we saw at Elimination Chamber. She's like, she's unlike anybody I've faced in the last year." And so that's from Becky Lynch herself.
There's some shade there, though.
Yeah.
Seriously.
So I wanted to get you your thoughts on that. And I mean, she's going against Shayna Baszler, and you know, it's been a long feud.
Yeah, I think with this, this is what I hope Ronda Rousey would have been if they had given her time. I mean, obviously it's Ronda Rousey, so they had to put her at the top because it's, you know, she's Ronda Rousey. But they had given her time to actually, you know, start in NXT. And, you know, start not necessarily at the same time as Shayna, because Shayna was there before her, but actually build on becoming a wrestler. I think this would have been a good promo. And that's why I think Becky said that, because, you know, Ronda's good, but she's still coming from, you know, MMA base and not necessarily somebody who's put in all that time, you know, as a wrestler. Because no matter what, it's the same thing with hosting. It's the same thing with horseback riding, whatever. It takes time to build up those little skills and all the little things that you don't necessarily learn, but you learn through the process. So I think, you know, Shayna is definitely going to, this is going to be a great match, because Shayna has been working on this since, gosh, she appeared on Total Divas like maybe 5 years ago. And she was, this was before she was even signed with NXT. So she's been working on this crap for, you know, a long time. So I think this is going to be a really great match. And, you know, hopefully we'll see what happens.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's testing. Bryant, what do you think? Because I think it's going to test both of them to a level that they've never seen before. I feel like Becky Lynch needs this, someone like Shayna Baszler, to kind of push her to new heights and new limits, and maybe break up the
monotony.
The monotony and kind of where we're at with the title reign. What do you think, Bryant?
I think so too, because once she beat Ronda and Charlotte, she was just so dominant. She's been on top. No one has been able to pretty much touch her besides probably Asuka, you know? So I feel like that's what they've been really building with Shayna, is just this super strong persona, this super strong character that she is going to give Becky a run for her money, and we'll see what happens. I think it's going to be a great match. I hope it is. Their styles are kind of different, a little bit slower. It's definitely not going to be like a Charlotte or Alexa Bliss kind of match, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But I think it's definitely going to be a good story to tell.
Well, this is a perfect segue. So WrestleMania 36 is like literally around the corner, and I'm kind of sad because I was 80% thinking about going,
Oh, I know. We would all be on a plane today flying to Tampa.
Gotta see the Bellas in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Unfortunately. Oh yeah. Right. So unfortunately, you know, we're here doing what it is, but you know, WWE is still maintaining, they're still pushing through. And we did talk about Becky Lynch and Shayna Baszler. Who do you guys have for that match? And this is for the Raw Women's Championship.
Shayna.
I'm going to say Shayna as well.
I want to say Shayna, but I think WWE is not finished with Becky yet as far as her being the man and being on top. Like, I would like to see Shayna as far as, like, a new change of guard, but I don't think they're done with Becky yet. It's almost like the Roman Reigns effect where it's just like, we don't really care what you feel. But this is what we're going to do.
But where can Becky go if, say, she still retains the title? What's the point of her retaining the title? And if she does lose it, you know, where does she go from there? So I feel like both ways, I'm not sure exactly where she's going to be.
Sure. Well, both ways, like we've experienced that when Becky had the title before and she dropped it, she kind of rolled back down the hill and she was, you know, pushing for tag team championships, stuff like that. And she was doing a lot of interviews, kind of pushing, you know, saying she didn't get enough time and she's not getting enough time. And that's how the man came about. So I think like Becky and, you know, even like Lana, she's not necessarily in this picture, but there are some wrestlers who kind of take the opportunities or take the lack thereof opportunities and create amazing storylines.
If
she were to lose the belt, I mean, then, you know, we might have a different version of Becky Lynch, which, you know, I love the man gimmick, but it is getting kind of stale. So maybe that's what's going to, you know, change it for her. However, if she does keep the belt, it might change based off of the match itself. It might change her and, you know, create a different version of Becky Lynch as well. We just don't know. Based off of everything. So I want Shayna, but I'm still holding out for, and obviously I don't think this is going to happen this WrestleMania, maybe in the one in LA next year, for Shayna and Ronda to be in the ring and do something together in some capacity. So I'm still holding out for that. So like now I'm planning for WrestleMania 37, but you know, I don't think it's time just yet, but we'll see. Yeah. Now we have the SmackDown Women's Championship, which is going to be Bayley, Lacey Evans, Tamina, and Naomi, and Sasha Banks. Who do you guys have for that match?
I want to have every single person except for Bayley, but I know she's going to retain. Literally, I want Naomi, Lacey Evans, even Tamina to win. Somebody just change that up, but I know Bayley's going to win because, of course, I feel like we're setting up her versus Sasha for SummerSlam. That's like just been in the books for years and years and years. So I think that's what we're going to have. We talked about this in the SmackDown After Show. Maybe there's going to be this is going to be the start of that fallout. You know, maybe they're going to have that face to face in the ring. It's going to be her versus Sasha, or maybe Bayley's going to cheat Sasha out of the win and Bayley's going to retain, something like that. But I'm pretty sure Bayley's going to retain and it's going to set up for her future storyline with Sasha.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I think that's that. I feel like they've been working on that angle for so long, and like this is like the time to do it. Years. Yeah, so I know everyone wants to see them kind of battle it out. So,
I mean, I feel like we've seen them battle out. They're friends. They're not friends. They're friends. They're not friends.
Seriously,
I know. But, I know.
You know, I do like this version of Bayley. Like we've been calling for her to, you know, be heel or to change the hug mentality. For a long time, so I am liking this version, but I'm also now tired of it, which is really quick. I do, you know, for folks who've been following me through AfterBuzz and wrestling and stuff, I'm always a Naomi fan, but I do want to see Lacey Evans. Like, she came in with an amazing pop when she came from NXT, and you know, we saw her everywhere, and then they pretty much, you know, she started losing a bunch of matches. So I don't necessarily, I hope that, I do see, I agree with you, Brian, I do see Bayley retaining this, but I hope that it kind of gives Lacey another storyline to either chase after it or something where she actually benefits them, because she has a storyline, she can cut promos, she can wrestle, I mean, she has the military background, like she has so much for her that, you know, I could see her, you know, wearing that belt and actually doing havoc in the women's locker room. So,
yeah, and Lacey Evans has improved so much in the last year in her matches, and she's learned kind of how to create those stories and kind of balance it out with the actual like technique of the wrestling moves. And so I feel like she could, I don't think she would get the belt, but I feel like if she kind of creates an interesting storyline after WrestleMania with whatever happens this weekend.
Nice. And now we have the Women's Tag Team Championships, the Kabuki Warriors versus Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross. So you guys have for that?
Alexa and Nikki, 1,000%.
I'm going to go with the Kabuki Warriors.
I don't know. For some reason, Alexa's really, really amazing on the mic. I really like dislike her, even though she's probably like the nicest
But that's
person.
A good thing. That's a good
right,
thing.
Right, it is a really good thing. So I'm going for the Kabuki Warriors just because I just don't want Alexa to get the belt. She's really good at that. So that's who I'm going for that. But that kind of rounds it out for our WrestleMania 36 women's edition. Do you guys have any other kind of hopes or anybody you want to see, you know, at this WrestleMania 36 coronavirus version?
I'm just excited to see what they do over two nights. I'm kind of happy that it gets broken up into two nights. Then we can kind of rest. It's not as like an 8-hour show is pretty daunting when you're there. I'm excited. Like, I just want some surprises. I want some changes. I want to shake it up. And I want, because after WrestleMania is like the start of the new year for for wrestling fans. So I want it to start over, to be totally different and really to think outside the box.
Yeah, I want Charlotte to beat Rhea because I think that it's just gonna set up so much, and I want her to be WrestleMania.
Rhea. I want Rhea to beat Charlotte. That's what I want, and I love both of them. So
seriously, we'll talk about it. Charlotte as Miss WrestleMania, and she can't be Miss WrestleMania if she never wins. She only won one time, you know. So I want her to win to make the streak and to just really solidify the fact that she is the face of the women's division. But that's
the face of the women's division. Right. Okay. We'll just leave that one there. So let's look at Star of the Week real quick.
Yes, well, we talked about it a little bit, but I have to mention it. That's my girl, Alexa Bliss. She is our Star of the Week. Alexa Bliss is a former 5-time women's champion, twice for SmackDown, 3 times for Raw. Also, of course, a former women's tag team championship. We're talking about her because this week we mentioned it. She has the big women's tag team championship match at WrestleMania happening this weekend. She is also a Money in the Bank winner, as well as the first and only woman in history to have her own televised talk show on WWE programming. So she is just killing it in all aspects. I am 1,000% the biggest Alexa Bliss fan, and I am just waiting for her to win at WrestleMania.
The excitement is real.
It is.
thank you guys for joining me. Thank you, Brittany and Nicole, for joining us. Definitely, you know, Elevate Pro, it sounds like an amazing thing. And that Women's Night, once this coronavirus thing is over.
Yes, and she's doing amazing things.
Mm-hmm. So where can everybody find you, Emily?
So you can find me on all social media platforms at Emily May Heller.
And Bryant?
You can find me on Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, and TikTok at TheBryanSaunders, and also on AfterBuzz TV's Quarantine with the Stars.
And I feel like you should like head the TikTok, Women's Wrestling Weekly TikTok.
Yes, I will do it.
we need to work on that.
Yes.
But if you are not following us, you definitely check out our Instagram, Twitter, all that good stuff at WPW Weekly, and TikTok eventually, probably this week. We'll work on that. I mean, we have time.
Yes, we have time.
And then also, if you're watching us on YouTube, make sure to hit that subscribe button on iTunes, all that good stuff. Give us 5 stars, because that's the only thing that we are taking. We are currently in episode 150.
We have to count.
We do have to count. Without you guys, we wouldn't be the number one women's wrestling show on the planet. Eventually, the universe. We're working on, you know, aliens and all that good stuff. Other than that, thank you guys so much for joining us. You can find me on everything at TK Trinidad. Until next week, guys. Ciao.
Ciao. Be safe out there.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.